Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
I'm Pat Nevin.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another episode of the London is Blue podcast. As always, your host, Brandon Drummond, Nick and Dan McCos. Gentlemen, big one today. We got the FA Cup match review. Morecambe FC, the Mighty Shrimps, was what we did and what we're going after. So, Dan, there's not much else to get into other than just the three-word match review. Had some great ones today. Super excited about this. Make the tone bright and fun because there's no complaining today.
You know, surprisingly enough, people did find a way to complain, but we're not going to talk about them. We're only going to talk about wonderful three-word match reviews. Hot off the presses. We started with Derek, who had goals came, more to come. But he's, you know, yeah, get it. Yeah, a little bit of the punnery there. Tana with team sheet goals accomplished. B Jones with the Shrimply the best, which I know tickles Nick to no end there.
Yep, that's the one.
Dean Mears with the Shrimps got battered. You know, again, another pun. And then ending on another, just it's a pun train today. They were all puns. Treo with the Kaiser returns. So there you go. Some good ones from the people.
All right. And since I'm leading it off with only positivity, I said improvement question mark. Not sure.
Screw you, Brandon.
Yeah.
Hey, I have my
reasons. That's my new 3-word match review.
Good. Well, we're skipping you then. Nick, on to you since we've heard Dan's.
Yeah, I'm kind of in between you and Dan. Probably is beginning 4-word progress. Beginning, not all the way there. The number 4 is in there, which is reflective of the score. So that's fun.
All right. Dan, apparently you actually have, you'd like to change yours, is my understanding.
No, I just, you know, need to double down because you're being awful. But anyway, it's rejuvenation, not promotions. Getting our first team back where they need to be, but the youth players missing out.
All right. Well, sounds like you didn't double down. So anyways, what we're going to be talking about on this one is Chelsea's rebound performance against the Shrimps and what the lack of youth in the 11 and reserves signals from Frank. We'll talk about what today's results means for the starting 11 versus Fulham, especially for Kai Havertz and Callum Hudson-Odoi. Plus, we'll talk about super Fran Kirby's great day out for the Chelsea women. Might have caught you off guard that we threw that one in there, but look, when you knock in 4, perfect hat trick, you're going to get a mention on the pod. So really excited to cover that match, the Chelsea win against Reading. But before we get into all of the match review, the detailed description, a thank you to Joshua, Raul, Mike, and Tim for joining us on Patreon. Welcome to the Discord server. Your lives have just gotten better, I promise. Dan, we have friends on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, well, Raul gets double love because he left a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts along with Joe and Ian. So thank you all for leaving wonderful 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Even the shout out for Discovery Plus in there too from Joe. He knows what's up. But anyway, leave a 5-star review, get a shout out in the next episode. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
All right, Nick, lastly, up to you.
Yeah, we did our first Chelsea Reddit AMA on Friday, and that was a lot of fun. We actually were on for, what was it, like 2.5 hours, something like that?
Yeah,
answering questions, and we opened up a private Zoom for our Discord server for those who wanted to come see us yammer about how we were answering questions like morons. That was fun. So we got, yeah, a little extra communication there, but that was great. So just thanks to thanks to the mods for hosting us. It was a lot of fun. We hope to do that again someday. And then we have a couple of pods coming up this week. As you know, and we're setting the alert now, we play Fulham on Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon. You know what to do. If you've been a part of the show for some time, that means looking at your calendars and figuring out if you have meetings. Maybe you have a doctor's appointment or something else. Look at it now. Get it out of the way. We'll also have a midweek Matt Law coming at you as well. So lots happening.
All right. Well, record time here, gentlemen. We are already 5 minutes in and we're at the match review. So here we go. It was Morecambe FC in the FA Cup this past Sunday, the 10th of January. It was at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea 4, Morecambe 0. All right. Now, Dan, walk us through the lineup to figure out how we got to that point.
Yeah, it started with Kepa Arrizabalaga. You haven't said his name in a long time, and boy, it just takes a second to get that off the tongue. Between the sticks, Azpilicueta, Zuma, Rudiger, and Emerson as a back four. Havertz, Billy Gilmore, Mason Mount, the birthday boy with the goal in our midfield. Ziyech, Werner, and Callum Hudson-Odoi as our attacking trio up front. Jorginho, Willy Caballero, Mateo Kovacic, and Ben Chilwell, unused substitutes. Tino Anjorin, Olivier Giroud, Fikayo Tomori, Christian Pulisic, and Tammy Abraham all get minutes off of the bench in this match.
Back to the five subs, Nick. It was a big talking point for the announcers too, just because of how depleted Morecambe had been as well. So they had to dig deep in their bench. But when Frank just insert dagger and twist, on comes Olivier Giroud and Christian Pulisic for his first two subs. I mean, no chill from that guy.
No, and it just, you know, look, we've talked about the five subs in the Premier League and how they've shot that down and whatever, but you have the FA, same governing body as the Premier League, has five subs in the FA Cup. Like, can we get some consistency here, please? Like, can we do just five across the board? What are we doing? I don't
Well, it's the same with, like, the EFL Cup, right, where they don't have VAR. So, like, all these competitions under the same regulatory body in the same country, yet different sets of rules for all of them.
Yeah, it's just, it's maddening because, like, okay, you're almost there. You almost answered the question correctly. Just another small half turn and you're there. Just give us five subs to the Prem. Like, what are we doing?
It would just be simple to have one consistent rule set for all football matches that take place domestically in England. But hey, who am I to run the FA and tell them what to do? I'm just a podcaster. So, team stats, Chelsea with a mere 25 shots, 8 of them on target. Morecambe had 3 shots, but credit to them, all 3 were on target. I'm not sure if you count that Schrass as a shot, but I think it did. That almost caught Kepa off his line. Chelsea with a mind-numbing 85% possession. We had 827 passes to their 154. We had 90% pass accuracy to their 53% pass accuracy. We did foul them 10 times. They only fouled us twice, yet they got a caution. One offside each and 8 corner kicks to their none. I just had to go through all of them this time because they're so lopsided. It was worth saying. Dan, I'm exhausted. Take us through the XG.
Kelly graphics with the 3.9 for Chelsea to a 0.1 for Morecambe with as he describes, a nearly perfect hit in a 4-0. So expect a goal right on point with what we actually deliver in this match.
Judging by that, it could have been more. So anyways, let's jump into our first talking point. And the question we have here is, was Lampard right to go with the heavy lineup and restore confidence versus injecting more youth players? Nick, I'll throw to you, but first, @Liam_Toomey tweeted this just to instigate our discussion a little bit. I completely understand the frustration, but it's a remarkable sign of how Lampard has shifted academy development expectations at Chelsea that a starting 11 featuring Hudson-Odoi and Billy Gilmore with Tino Anjorin among the subs could be considered light on youth, end quote. So was he youth heavy enough for your likings, or did he miss the boat on that one?
First of all, I'm not going to complain after a 4-0 win, okay? Like, I think let's all take a step back where we were this time last week and just consider how we felt and then look at this. And while this match is a one-off and we're never going to play Morecambe again, likely, it was a performance that needed to happen, right? So, like, just let's set the table there first. Second, after doing our match preview and kind of looking at the potential youth debuts, I was getting pretty excited about that. One, it's, you know, looking at that grouping, I think they're deserving of getting a call up at some point. Two, I felt like the team was running on empty and could have used a break just to get out of their own heads and, you know, do something different for a week. But that's not what Frank decided to do, and he's the manager of the club. You know, like, I can't, as much as we can second guess or play, you know, hypotheticals on this game show of a podcast, that's not what we're here, you know, really to do. We're just here to read and react to the situation. what this told me, Dan, was that one, Frank did not think the players he wanted to play deserved to get rest, nor did the subs. Two, he might not have thought that the youngsters that we talked about in our match preview, the Soonsup Bells of the world or the Lawrences of the world, were quite ready for the call-up. Now, our friend Chelsea Youth may disagree, and we'll get into some of that later, but that's kind of how I read the situation.
Well, and Frank gave comments afterwards, and so Simon Johnson, also at The Athletic and good friend of the show, tweeted the comments regarding the youth players and the development squad not getting those, you know, either A, on the bench, or B, an actual appearance in the match, saying the youngsters have trained well with us, but at the same time, sometimes you need to give the first team squad members game time to get more minutes. And I think this is actually that the larger issue is not necessarily that the youth players are maybe not ready, but the size of the squad for Frank right now is actually a little large in some areas still, where, you know, you could see someone like a Tomori still go out on loan. You have, you know, three people who play in a central position, right? You have Timo Werner, you have Tam Abraham, you have Olivier Giroud, who all could be getting opportunities to play. And so we're at this point now where it's a little bit of fine bouncing of the actual players to make sure that if they have to get called on in an emergency, that they're ready to go. But I think, Brandon, to the other point, it's also about priming some of the players and getting them into a position where they're going to feel confident in the next several run of matches too. And it seems like it was the right decision.
Well, I think that we weren't really in a position of luxury to where like our first team was clicking and we could afford to like put a B squad / U squad out there. And I think that's what kind of came out. Right. So here's a quote from Frank, from Simon Johnson, tweeted on a selection, quote, "The youngsters have trained well with us, but at the same time, sometimes you need to give first team squad members a game to get some minutes," end quote. So while I did do some rotation, he didn't really talk about the quality of minutes. I mean, everyone was like, Timo scored, done, great, mission accomplished. I know Matt Law was tweeting about it. It was not the situation. If he went out there and played a bunch of youth and we lose, the problem is the first team results aren't justifying that to be like, nope, it's okay. Like, we just needed them to get some minutes. So he had to go ahead and do it. So I when he says it, I'm thinking he's not happy enough with his first team. Therefore, he has to go back and get those guys confidence, minutes. Aspie was probably good to get minutes. And it's probably good to get Ziyech his 60, 65 minutes that he needed. So when Frank says that, that's the way I interpret it. But I just can't imagine what would happen if we went through that process, played a bunch of kids, Nick, and lost. I mean, then all of a sudden it's, oh, they're not good enough, this, and you kind of put them in the firing line, and we talk about how it prevents us from, you know, having victory with another cup competition potentially.
Yeah, I mean, look, from what we saw of Morecambe today, I'm like pretty confident that the kids would have been fine as well. It may have been tighter, you know, in areas. And so just, you know, kind of use that as a marker. But at the same time, like, Morecambe offered very little in this match. I mean, outside of the first, like, minute when they got that weird cross shot on goal, like, there wasn't a whole lot happening. I texted our group that it was like we just played outside of their 18-yard box for the entirety of the match. So if you're telling me that our kids couldn't have done that, I would disagree with you. But at the same point, I am not criticizing Frank Lampard for making these squad selections. In fact, you know, again, we look at his level of happiness with the squad. My hope is those couple days off and then maybe a readjusted training program got this team ready for the stretch of matches to come. And like, this is just a confidence booster in the end.
I mean, one of the big complaints that people have placed at the foot of Lampard or the feet of Lampard is that the team has not found the right chemistry and working together. And so the more opportunities you can provide to that first team to gel, especially with Kai Havertz kind of finding back form from his, you know, short preseason, out for COVID situation, Timo Werner off the pace a little bit, you know, maybe not finding the back of the net. Ziyech, very limited kind of exposure this season. You know, you think about the total number of matches he's played due to starting the season with injury. And now Billy Gilmore coming back in off of injury too. And so as much as you want to see the opportunities for the Bates, the Livramentos, you know, and the others who are kind of on that bubble, on that cusp, who knows? Maybe we do get a favorable draw and there's going to be a lot of fixtures and they might have an opportunity to play later in the competition. We could get drawn against a really tough side and then we don't have that luxury, Brandon. But I mean, it's good to know that they are finding opportunities to play, you know, kind of against our, you know, first teamers in training regularly. And maybe this sets some of them up for, you know, a loan opportunity, you know, kind of here heading into the second half of the season.
Well, if that wasn't the biggest alley-oop to yourself, Dan, I don't know what is, because you literally have the next part is as we talk about this, is we had a Fikayo Tomori sighting, gentlemen. I immediately ran to my closet and found my Tomori kit and threw it on just to stand in solidarity with Fick.
One last time, baby. One last time.
Well, apparently Naz tweeting, Lampard admits that he's considering loaning Fikayo Tomori out in the January window. Look, a bit of a provocative question from Mr. Thurman, but if I know anything about Mr. Thurman, it's that he loves to poke a proverbial bear. So he asks, is the, quote, bad in training rejected because of conspiracy theory or because it's a token harmless excuse that isn't tangible and isn't helpful? I think the problem with us is we don't know what's going on with Fick. It seems, sadly, his future was left too late this summer transfer window to go on loan. And he felt forced to go to West Ham and wasn't sure if it'd be a good opportunity. Hindsight being 2020, it probably was, Nick. But now he still is. The second time we've seen him all season? Maybe even first? He's clearly got to be third.
He played Liverpool, Tottenham, and then this for like 20 minutes or whatever. So,
right. So either way, I think whatever Mr. Thurman is trying to get at as far as like what must be going on to figure out why he's not training, it all is kind of irrelevant because the fact of the matter is he's got to go somewhere this January, hopefully loan. The rumors it's permanent, but we hope to see him. We all love him on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's we've covered this before. I don't think we need to litigate this situation. It's a really big bummer for me personally, because of all the youngsters that were kind of coming through last year, you know, I know everyone has their favorite, right? Everyone has a different person that they like, whether it's Mason or Reese or whoever, and there is no wrong or right answer there. But I was really, really enjoying watching Fikayo play last year at the beginning of the year. And you know, what I hope happens is the classic Chelsea loan story for the strongest, is that they play so well that it is impossible to ignore them coming back into the squad and that they're given a real chance to thrive. This is a complicated one, Dan, just because Andreas Christensen is hurt now. And so by loaning him out at whatever point in January, you're potentially using Dave as an emergency center back for the rest of the season. And that's a quandary in and of itself because of Reece James's unknown injury. So there's a lot of moving parts here, but it is, I want the best for Fick. And if the loan is the best, then that's what I want.
Well, and comments afterwards in the match too from Lampard indicated that Tomori's attitude had been spot on in training. And obviously, you know, that could just be the follow-up, the necessary follow-up to,
well, he's not placate. Trying to sell a damaged player. Nah, he's miserable, terrible attitude, like I can't stand him. Oh, but you guys should pay for his wages.
this car's only been in 4 accidents, but you're really getting a deal, you know, like that's, yeah, not what you're gonna
get,
do.
Get the Tomori Carfax report before you take him on loan. So yeah, I don't think there's too much beyond that to be said other than that it seems to me it's more like a contractual type of element. Like Tomori's on the longer deal at the moment relative to Rudiger and Christensen. If you want to find someone who is going to pick them up on a permanent versus potentially losing Tomori long term, I would imagine that you would try to give them opportunities to impress, because you know that you can find a loan that is going to help give Fick 15, maybe 20 matches, depending on if he can go to like a championship side. That's where it's at.
If only there was a social influencer that could start a social campaign for him, maybe that might save his Chelsea career. All right. Well, look, we're going to take a real quick ad break. But when we get back, it's all about the Callum Hudson-Odoi show. We'll touch on Kai Havertz ending his drought. And then obviously, like I said, we gotta look ahead to Fulham and then the Chelsea women's results. So plenty more to come. Thanks to sponsors for supporting the show financially, and we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, before we get into today's pod, I just want to tell you a little bit about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everybody the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast but don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all of the other listening platforms. And the best part is you can get this all for only $15 a month. That is the exact same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So you're getting a pretty good value here. Whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description in this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
All right, the Callum Hudson-Odoi show, Dan. I mean, where do we go with this? Chelsea, you tweeting the absolute backing. Caltech, the boy just produces. I mean, Cal's been on a really strong run as of late. Even if he's coming off the bench, he's coming off making an impact right away. Obviously, Akim Ziyech's left foot is something different, but we don't expect that from Cal. But it seems like from Cal being a pacey winger that looks to cause trouble and get defenders running at their own goal, he's looked good. His goal is a little lucky, right? Bit of a limp wrist from the goalkeeper, but at the end of the day, it went in, and you can't fault him for that.
Got to be in the place to produce the shot. And well-timed run. You know, he kind of did the same thing versus City, where he picked up the ball that Havertz laid in. And so, you know, I think he's finding the right places on the pitch to be. And, you know, I think our friend Expected Chelsea kind of dropped out some of the highlights against the, you know, or just in terms of stats. Callum Hudson-Odoi for Chelsea senior team, 32 total starts, 26 goal contributions, 19 in the Premier League and Europe, 137 minutes per goal contribution. And Nick, you know, it's not just against, you know, this was kind of the comment I think that was levied against Callum, is that it comes against a lower opposition. Three Premier League goals, 7 Premier League assists, 2 Champions League goals, 1 Champions League assist, 4 Europa League goals, 2 Europa League assists, 3 FA Cup goals, 3 FA Cup assists, 1 League Cup goal.
Yeah, look, he deserves to start today, and he probably deserves to start moving forward. Like, he's on a run, he's on a tear. The thing that I want to, you know, first of all, I want to commend him for his performance. You know, I think he was maybe unlucky to not have another goal contribution in this one too. So, like, you know, you kind of factor some of those in, the near misses and things, and there's a lot more to look at. But I think for Frank in particular, this is a really interesting player that you have to consider as to like how you fit him in. He was obviously playing on his preferred left-hand side today, while Ziyech was on the right-hand side. They're both kind of inverted wingers in that way, where they want to come in on their stronger foot and put in kind of quality crosses or balls. And, like, look, Ziyech's left foot is absurd. Like, Cal's right doesn't have anything on Ziyech's left, but Cal was finding runs all day. Like, he was making the right moves. And I think that's where I'm getting excited, and one might wonder if he is a much in the same way that Frank kind of professed this about his own play as a player. Like, even if he was playing terribly, which he rarely did, but let's just say he went on a bad run, he was like, I needed to play. I needed to play out of it, because if I sat and then I came back in, it wasn't going to be the same. And what one just wonders, thinking back to the sorry days with Cal, Brandon, does he just need a stretch of games in which to really start to spread his wings a little bit here? Because, I mean, he is at... Look, there are not a ton of players on Chelsea that are performing at a high level in the last 38 days. He could be considered one of them. Like, do you just give him a run and say, let's see what happens?
Ideally. I mean, I think we've like talked about the meritocracy, and it seems like he's earned it, right? I still think when Christian comes in, he's on fire, but I think we saw that even Ziyech isn't 100% yet. By the way, mistake giving him time on the ball. But...
poor Morka, by the way. That's like a cheat code, dude. Like, yeah. Come on.
That lofted pass to Callum was just, yeah.
I mean, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to rewatch, and it's just...
It just puts his boot right through it, so it's just perfect backspin, just lofted, and just it drops in. So, look, they're two different players, right? But it's like Callum and Christian that I think are your dynamic wingers that look to run at people and create some things, too. So... you know, if Ziyech isn't going to be healthy and able to, you know, kind of produce the amount of minutes we need, you know, earlier in the season, we weren't sure about Callum. Like, I think you can start Callum and Christian and let them, and I really want to see us like release them into space so they can, you know, create havoc like we know they can. Obviously that comes back to the midfield, getting them the ball early. But, you know, I think he's really earned it, especially a team like Fulham. You know, he's probably got a lot of people on that team that he knows or is familiar with since they're in the same area. But I think Ole Aina, obviously, and him know each other from the academy days. Ruben won't play because of his loan deal. But I think it's the perfect game to go out and play. Fulham, you know, at the bottom of the table-ish, right, amongst the bottom. And they need it to kind of grow in confidence and do it. And it just seems like Fulham and the timing, it seems perfect to me. I'm really excited for Callum and hopefully what he can do with it.
I would say I don't necessarily want to see him come good. I don't think necessarily it's actually a matter of that he is now kind of the backfill immediately for Ziyech or Christian. I think he's taking his shot right now at saying I should start over Christian Pulisic. I mean, if we just look at
who's on the other wing,
I think you put Christian is kind of the backup for Callum. You put Callum on the left, you put Ziyech on the right.
I don't agree with that. I think there will be a three player rotation, maybe four, just depending on how desperate you are with Werner, where you got two that play one game, swap out one the next game. So let's say that Ziyech is the one that gets swapped after Fulham. You bring in maybe Pulisic's the guy on the bench for Fulham, right? You bring in Pulisic on the left, you throw Cal on the right, Ziyech gets a rest day. Same thing happens the next one, same thing happens. You start to braid this thing together, if you will. And I think there's a lot of real good possibility, and there's a lot of really good minutes there with sub appearances that you start to solidify expectations more. And I think that's probably, if all are healthy, I think that's probably the best case scenario, because, like, you know, none of those guys want to sit, but they've all also, they've never all been healthy together. So they've all had injury histories, right? So you do have to manage them effectively. And I just want to like call that out.
Yeah. I think the way I'm framing it in my mind is that with less minutes this season, Callum now is on 5 goals, 2 assists, mm-hmm. and Christian, 50 more minutes played, is on 2 total goals for the season. And so I think if we're going back to this idea that maybe a meritocracy does exist, just on form and contribution, you would want to find a way to get Callum in versus Christian in right now.
I think Fulham is the perfect opportunity. And I'm going to stick with that. I don't want to look too far ahead and say any things, but I agree. I think that, you know, Callum probably gives you a little bit more flexibility too. I think he's probably better on the right than what Christian can be. So at least he can complement that a little bit. But having their ability to cut in is been, I mean, Callum's looked good on the right in the last couple matches. So anyways, again, we're adding it to the list of momentum. We're upping his points, in the sense that like Callum is looking sharp. He's looking good. He's looking like he should be a first teamer at Chelsea. He just needs a run, you know, like you said. So hopefully, you know, that will come because he's continued to be successful. So, Kai Havertz. He ended a 15-game goal drought. When was the last time? So does that mean the last time he scored was that hat trick in the EFL Cup?
Barnsley, yes. Baby. Loves the lower leagues. Really, really good player for those.
That's why we signed him.
Yeah. I mean, you really need a killer for those lower league opposition matches. That
was tongue-in-cheek before you all get mad at me.
they already are, Brandon. They, from minute one of the episode today.
Steaming. Look, just...
Frank with the quote, he's come here with a huge amount of talent, but has to get accustomed to the league, and we as a club must support him in that now and for the future. It's a small step in the big picture, but a good step. That seems like a reasonable take, right, Nick? I think it's no surprise to anyone that Kai Havertz hasn't lit the league on fire since he's come here. He's had to deal with a severe case of COVID. But again, in the grand scheme of things of getting him up to speed, up to the level he needs to be, this isn't a bad thing.
No, of course it's not. I mean, look, is he playing Bayern Munich in the Champions League final and delivering this? No, but that's not the team he was playing today. He was playing the Shrimps. Like, look, I mean, it's funny to say, but like, you know, he like just did the business today. And like his assist to Werner was the thing that got me excited. You know, I think that shows a clear strategy where, you know, Ziyech loops the ball in, he goes far post, he nods it back. It's not a complicated play, but it's a damn effective play if you're only marking the one guy. Like, even Werner couldn't screw that one up at this stage in his goal-scoring drought, so you know it was a good assist. And then, look, the goal for him is really important too, Dan, because he's tall. He has shown with some really like close misses, to be fair to him, in previous games that he does have the ability to get up and kind of play that far post header. And to get one, and to get a good one, by the way, it wasn't like a cheap one. It was a solid hit. To get a goal, I think, has to lift his spirits, because I can't imagine the mindset that he had coming into this game. Can't imagine it was super positive, but again, he's probably a mentally stronger person than I am.
Yeah. And if you haven't read it yet, it is probably, you know, again, The Athletic kind of continues to prove their value in the worth of a subscription, but Liam Toomey put together a really fantastic article about like what has actually transpired, how Havertz is being deployed under Lampard versus how he was being deployed under in Leverkusen's side. And ultimately, you know, a lot of it goes down to the fact that it was really about design channels that he was playing into, and kind of this is where we need to kind of get Kai into so that he can come in and scoop up a goal and, you know, just feast on what was available versus some of the fluidity and maybe more jazz style attack and that Frank Lampard has kind of tried to employ so far this season. And so if we can continue to build on this momentum here, find him in the right places, play him into the right space, this looks good. This looks like where we're starting to see some more of what we were promised that Kai was going to deliver.
Think about this too, Brandon. Like, Chelsea have not completely got it going this year yet. Havertz hasn't been going. Werner hasn't been going. Pulisic certainly hasn't been up to his project restart standards. Callum looks like he might be ticking up a bit. And then, you know, the defense for the most part has been okay. Like, if you start to get the attackers going in this team, and I'm not saying that this match is like going to be the jet engine for it by any means, but like, we haven't seen prime Chelsea yet this year. We just really haven't. We've seen a couple of good passages of play with some of the players, you know, in that unbeaten run, but not really like firing on all cylinders. This is interesting. Like, if Kai Havertz can in February or March really emerge as the player that he can. He's a match winner at his best. So,
yeah, that's what we saw in the highlights, right? Was this midfielder that would make these runs in the box. He essentially is a second forward, always getting himself in dangerous positions, not afraid to pull the trigger. Haven't really seen a lot of that. And, you know, I think he's openly talked about the pace of the league and the lack of time on the ball. But that's in the buildup. Once he's in and around the box, I think he's still the same player. We just haven't really found the best way to unlock him, haven't found the best way to unlock Timo. But the funny thing with those two is no matter where they are on the pitch, they're looking for each other. Key in your header from Kai, you know, in like Kai should be heading that in. You know, like he's that close. He should be looking to blast it in, but he looks for Timo. Then we see, you know, Timo looking for him, you know, towards the end of the game. Mm-hmm. Like they're always looking for each other, but that's a good thing, right? That's a chemistry thing. That's a, you know, a partnership that they're looking to form. So I think it sounds weird, but I think if Timo is struggling, Kai is likely to struggle and vice versa. I feel like they're just really tied to each other. You know, they're going to be best friends in the locker room. I could just kind of see that happening with them. I wonder if Timo was banging in the goals, if Kai would kind of like follow him in that confidence level, just because of how close they seem to be and how much they play off each other. So I don't know. We'll have to play it out and see, obviously. But if we're going to look ahead to Friday, because this podcast comes out Monday, so you're probably listening Monday or Tuesday. It's only a few days away. Dan wants to know, would Callum and Kai start for you? Clearly, I said yes to Callum. I'm very much pro Callum starting against Fulham on this one. As far as Kai starting, I would say, yeah, why not? I mean, it's, again, another opportunity to take another step in the right direction. The bigger concern for me is like the Timo he scored today, but he's got so many steps in the wrong direction. It's like, how far forward did he go? And will this potentially set him back? And good scripting here, Dan. You note that Conte is suspended and Reece James should be healthy, but no guarantee. But Reece James probably won't be taking either of their spots. So
it might change what you think about your deployment, what you think about your attacking options, giving you all the perspective you need to make an informed decision.
Reece James at center forward, baby. I'm calling it now. Let's go. Are we picking our lineups or are we only picking these?
No, just them. Like, would
just
you?
These two. Okay. Yeah. This is just the question.
I definitely start Callum. And yeah, I think I would start Kai. I think I would. The other combination that we haven't talked about yet, which is something that I'm still interested in, is we know that Ziyech can play where Kai's been playing in the 4-3-3 because he's done it a lot for Ajax in the past. And, you know, we did a deep dive on him when we signed him. You can go listen back to that one in February of last year about his positional flexibility. But there's also some flexibility there if you wanted to have, you know, a bunch of different guys on the field at once. But, yeah, I think I would. I mean, these guys, I think, have earned it. That's two assists and a goal in two games for Kai. And two goals and an assist for Callum, right? Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Dan,
yeah, it's a slam dunk. Yeah, I think again you have to start the hot hand and you have to continue to build on the momentum from this match. If you didn't play the youth and we're not using this to build momentum, then if this is a momentum game, you should be playing the people that have put themselves in a better position, who found the net, who are finding confidence to build off of what they did in this game. So, yes.
I can't wait to hear who the rest of your hot hand is at Friday. But teaser, right? I'm going to make sure you check on that match preview later in the week. All right. Callum on the rise. Kai on the rise. Conte suspended. So we got that going for us.
So the one thing I didn't put in here, which we should take 2 seconds on too.
It's too late.
Nick tweeted about it specifically and I'm remembering it now, but the Billy Gilmore show. We can't transition away just yet because I know that Nick wants 30 to 60 seconds just to wax about the GOAT.
I thought he was very good. Let's frame his performance in context. One, selected over Jorginho in that role. And I think rightfully so, given some of Jorginho's recent performances. Two, We know that he's a danger in this tournament. He played well in this tournament until he got hurt last year. Three, it's really hard to play that position when you're in and around the 18 box all the time.
Literally.
I thought that he was looking really sharp. He was looking around for options where possible and just and helping to guide the play, right? Like it's hard to do when you're just camped. But if we're talking about like who should start against Fulham, like I'm throwing Billy in there 100%.
I don't know if you heard, N'Golo Kanté is suspended and Reece James is a maybe.
Number six. Okay. Role for him. Thank you very much. That I will yield my time to the floor.
60 seconds spot on. We can appreciate that. I guess, Dan, I don't have much to say on Billy, but I'll let you jump in if you want.
It's another person who's looking to make the progressive pass, who's looking to find a ball in between the line. I actually think that someone like Billy doesn't force Silva or Zuma to be as involved. Like they don't have to worry about coming as far forward as pushing. And so we actually might shore up ourselves a little bit defensively if we were to put Billy in against Fulham. So I'd be very interested to see what the impact is there. He was a really great participant. It was hard not to be a great participant in this game, but
I think the three of us up front might have got a couple of goals today. To be completely.
Oh gosh, please don't do that again. No, we wouldn't have.
I would have scored the one that Timo got for sure. I would have just thrown my gut in front of it. It just would have bounced in. It would have been great. A quick shout for Assist Piliquita returning to my life again today. Say his name, Brandon. Say it right now. Assist Piliquita.
It's not fair because they don't know all the back and forth that we've been talking about on the Assist Piliquita and your actual genius versus the projected genius and the false. Anyways, yes, Assist Piliquita is something that was fantastic, and we are all surprised that you. It was in the AMA. All right, you got credit for it. I retorted that name one more, and the person who asked the question immediately came back with Boss Barkley in your defense, and it was a weak defense at that. Anyways, lastly, we're going to wrap with a little Chelsea women's talk. Don't turn it off now. You're doing yourself a disservice. After a long break, the Chelsea women returned with a match against Reading, and damn did they return. Kate from Discord, massive Chelsea women's supporter. Love her takes on this. She had her own three-word match reviews. Chelsea women's three. She had another one that was left-right header, and another one said in that order. She had a 3x3, so she had a little 9-grid there. Look, Dan, run us through some of the highlights of like what went on in this match. It was obviously the Fran Kirby show with her perfect hat trick plus one, but context.
Yeah, so this is now the 30th match that we've now played unbeaten in the WSL. So, just continuing a blistering run under Emma Hayes. Fran Kirby, obviously, casual 30. The Fran Kirby perfect hat trick plus one, because you know what? Why not put a little bit of extra sprinkles on that Sunday? And then Chelsea women slide into second place on the table. They are now 3 points behind Manchester United. And surprise, we play them next weekend, still with our game in hand. So very easy to go level and then overtake in this regard, Nick. So just nothing but a wonderful day for Chelsea supporters across all teams. But Chelsea women had a very special day, and particularly Fran Kirby.
Tough for viewing when they played at the same time. But other than that...
Yeah, I did have to... I was flipping back and forth from the computer I had the men's match on my phone. I had the women's on my computer. And yeah, it was different. It's also, look, they played in our wonderful pink kits today. And I think that there's no coincidence in between that thing. Fran Kirby this year, after, like, think about where she's coming back from last year, right? A terrible virus basically took her out of play for most of the season. She came back, then COVID happened, and then the women's season was decided by points per game, right? So she didn't really have a chance to play in the second half of the season. She comes back this season, ready to go. Like, could be credited with the reason that Sam Kerr has finally started firing at her requisite level with her assists, and then also has just been on a mission to kind of regain her goal scoring form too. And again, like, we just witnessed two perfect hat tricks plus one in the last like 40 days between Giroux and Frank Kirby. And that's a lot. That's a lot to love. And her comeback story is incredible. So like, she's probably the women's greatest ever player, or our women's team's greatest ever player. And now she looks like she's back to her best.
That's what you want to see from Fran. I mean, she's been through so much, and I know we were talking about some different stuff over the weekend, and as we're trying to make this show even better than what it is. And we were talking about the Chelsea women's team, and I just was like, Fran is like the first great player since we've really been paying attention. And so like, I have a strong affinity with Francesca Kirby. You know, she won the FA Player of the Year. She went from an emo haircut to a different haircut. I mean, she's evolved over time.
She's made fun of her own haircuts on Twitter, if you're following along.
That's why I feel comfortable saying that as well. But just to see, you know, someone who's at the top of the game go through so much adversity to the point now where look, the Chelsea team she started in and won, you know, PFA Player of the Year, she's in a very different team right now. We're talking loaded with international superstars, yet she is so resilient. She's such a classy player. Anytime she does interviews, she's so humble. I mean, I think she was just talking to Lee Park or someone. She doesn't care if she plays right back or, you know, center. She just wants to play. And, you know, from Emma Hayes' perspective, she probably has to feel so lucky to have like a leader in her locker room, in her dressing room, that says, whatever the team needs, I'm here for that. And like you said, you know, she's getting back into goal scoring form. She's been playing out wide a lot more and creating a ton of assists at the beginning of the season, and a lot of should be assists for Sam Kerr while she got her feet underneath you, and now she's clicking. And it was the opposite today. Sam Kerr assisting Fran Kirby. And so you're just seeing fluidity and motion. And again, I just have so much respect and like adoration for Kirby and everything she's been. Like I said, just for me personally, she's like the first, you know, Chelsea women's player that I've really, you know, watched over many, many years. I think, you know, the other one being Millie Bright as well. But just excited to see her continue to have resurgence after all of these setbacks. So,
yeah.
I like her. She's great.
That was awful nice. That was awful. Like, gee golly, you guys. She's so great. Shucks.
She's so wholesome. She's a dog lover. You two will appreciate that.
Are we talking about the favorite goal? We did this for Giroux, so we got to talk about the favorite goal, right?
It's fair.
Yeah.
So obviously you had a lefter, a righter, and a header. And you get to choose one. Dan, pressure's on.
Yeah, I think it was the one that started it because, you know, I mean, the headers are great. Like, anytime you have a shorter player scoring headers in the fashion that they do, hers were great. All the goals were fantastic. But I do think Kerr splitting, kind of putting her into a place where she could get on the ball, dragged the keeper out of position, kept herself upright to put the ball past the keeper after she completely just absolutely embarrassed the keeper. It's one of those ones where you feel bad because you're like, man, that person has just done the absolute business in front of him. Yeah.
Yep.
But it was great. It was a great goal to get it started. And super, super memorable. So it's hard to pick, Nick, but I think I'm going to go with that one.
I love a header. I really do. And like, what I thought was most impressive about this header is that, one, I'm not sure if that ball was out or not when it was crossed in. Like,
a lot of questions were asked by Reading.
I'm not saying anything, but it just, my eye said, maybe. But that was, it was like a looping header. So like, or a looping cross. It wasn't like a really, you know, direct ball across the box where she had to like just snap her head. She had to put a lot of like she had to stoop down for it and then snap over to get the power on it. She got a shit ton of power on it. So I was pumped about that. That was a really good goal.
I like that one too. And right, she had to produce all the power on that cross. You know, the cross is going away from goal, and she's trying to punch it back in. But I loved the run she made because she found about a 3-yard radius of space around all those defenders. And kudos to Sam Kerr for finding her as well. But she went to this space and her teammate found her. Because again, you talk about a small player crowded around defenders, but she went and found the space. And so it's great to see. You talk about short players scoring headers, Dan. I think back to Eden Hazard scoring header, and he's surprised by it. But I think the ultimate header, if anyone scores, I'm not going to pull a Yan and say I'm getting a tattoo of running down the street naked or anything like that. But my day would be complete if N'Golo Kanté scored a header at some point.
Oh, yes.
I mean, talk about a wholesome moment.
Well, no, I mean, we all remember when Eden Hazard scored a couple of headers, you know, and it was always like...
He laughs about it.
He was always looking shocked and like running over to someone. But yeah, I mean, well, if you ever made a bet, much like I made a Bluebeard bet at some point, you know, we fulfill our obligations, unlike our friend Yan, who has yet to fulfill. Yan, that's for you, Yan.
Tag him, tweet him, let him know. Anyways, just an amazing moment that you pointed out, Dan, that Emma Hayes. Classic triple sub with Bethany England, G, and Jess Fleming. No big deal.
There's a couple of weird things, right? So, like, Sophie Ingles in the back pairing with Bright in this match. That was a little bit different. And, you know, you saw... Then, again, Beth England, one of the best scorers in the WSL last season, comes off as a sub. That's like when it's the embarrassment of riches, like, harder. Oh, yeah. Could have had a goal too. It was a really, really wonderful performance against what is effectively a mid-table Reading team at the moment. Like they tried, but they were, I would say by the second half, they were pretty demoralized is what the way it looked.
After a first half hat trick, I'd be pretty freaking demoralized too. And then, yeah, you just talk about, I touched on it earlier, but again, Sam Kerr flipping the script, assisting two of Fran's goals as well. It's probably she wants to be the one scoring the goals, but if you're getting assists, I mean, you're producing. That's what players want. They want to be involved producing for the team. So anyways, we're back.
Like really quick.
Yeah.
The table tells the kind of the story too, right? The 5 goals that you get here are really big in terms of goal diff, which we talk about all the time, especially considering how tight the table was last season.
Honestly, yeah.
You know, it could be a big deal. So Chelsea right now, plus 23 goal diff, United plus 18. So that, you know, look at that. Arsenal plus 30, and yet somehow in third with one more game played. So they're getting smashed in the whatever.
Whatever.
So just thinking about that moving forward.
To the point, like Arsenal, one loss, and they're like miles behind it in points. It's wild.
But United are clearly better than they were last year. 100%. And Tobin Heath is really kind of and Kristen Press as well are helping them kind of elevate themselves above where they kind of were at that point. So just you know, it's going to be one to tune in for. Like, cannot emphasize enough how fun this team is to watch. Like, really encourage you to get out and watch them and put it in your calendar. We even have on our pod Google calendar all of the women's matches listed there, just so it's a fun, handy-dandy guide.
Yeah, and we have a great Discord thread as well dedicated to women, rightfully so. The youth, obviously, anything related to Chelsea. And then, unfortunately, Dan, we've got a bit of a delay. The Man City match in the Conte Cup is going to have to wait a little bit.
Yeah, we had talked about looking ahead at the congestion fixtures that they were going to end up in with the women's team as well. A little bit of that is getting reshuffled again with Manchester City, as women's team having a COVID outbreak as well. And that has been postponed. So the next match for them will be the United match where hopefully we go top of the league.
I wonder if that has anything to do with the men's COVID outbreak at Manchester City. I wonder if that's how that works. Anyways, pivoting back to the men's match, Dan, the match and maybe some other notable results.
Frank Kirby.
You doubled up, Dan.
Well, I did double up. It felt right. It felt good to run one again because we have not run them after a series of bad results. We're back. Normal order is restored. No surprise, Callum Hudson-Odoi running away with it, 53%, not far behind Kai Havertz, 23%, Ziyech with 15%, and Mason Mount, the birthday boy, with 9%.
We didn't even talk about Mason Mount's goal, by the way.
Nah,
great goal. Super good. Super good. Arrow into the bottom corner. Like, also, the commentary in today's game, very pro-Morecambe. Look, fair play to him, but the announcers were clearly wanting a Magic of the FA Cup type of result, and they did not get it because Mason Mount delivered a hammer blow early.
Oh, you don't know about the power of the big shrimp industry, Nick. Big Shrimp really invested in making sure the commentary was pro-shrimp. But anyway, for the women's match, no surprise, Dan the Match didn't even run it. It is Fran, and someone actually tweeted back, it was the Fran of the Match, which was absolutely yes.
Fran of the Match. Thumbs up. Yes, I'm all for that.
Well, it's funny. I saw a tweet from DPZ, and he was annoyed at the commentators because they told us to go Google a story about a Morecambe player. And he's like, the laziness is unbelievable that you didn't do your own homework, and instead you're telling us to go look it up for you. So, anyways, look, a lot of results you would expect would happen. There's a lot of teams that I don't even know who they are and kind of, you know, where they're coming from. It sounds like Chorley advancing is a big deal. So I'm just going to jump on that hype bandwagon. Because I couldn't tell you what to really think about there.
Well, our guy, the king of Stamford Bridge, Adam, is helping do marketing for Chorley, and they did a big locker room thing.
The Adele?
Yeah, and she liked it. Yeah. And it got like millions of views. So like, just props to him. Like, that's fucking rad to see someone doing something that cool.
Crawley Town 3-0 over Leeds was massive. I mean, they had Kiko Kessié in goal, who was at Madrid a couple seasons ago. I mean, think about that. They got absolutely played off the pitch.
It was ugly, by the way. Like, the goals were good too. Like, well, actually, the second goal was terrible. He let that one in, but the other two goals were pretty good. And when you talk about football genius, like, let's just watch results come in before we tag Bielsa with football genius, because they should be disposing of Crawley, right? Like, and they didn't because they're Leeds.
Apparently the announcers are saying, oh, but they ran hard and put in a good shift.
Why do we get credit for running hard when we lose? Like,
as if anybody cares. Crawley Town are in, if Google will load... I don't know.
Well, this is where the commentator says, just League Google two. It, Brandon.
League two. I'm going to give you an answer, friends. Dan, any other result you want me to read off?
No, I just think, you know, look, the draw will happen. You'll have listened to this podcast and the draw will have happened, and we'll know who our next competition is. And you hope it is a lower league side so we can continue furthering our path forward, because last season was not the calmest of runs into the FA Cup final. So let's hope that we get a little bit of an easier draw this time.
We literally played everybody except for Man City on the way to the FA Cup final of the Premier League. Like, it was ridiculous. I will give a quick shout out to Marine,
AFC,
a non-league side who's been around for 120 some years. By the way, they're in Liverpool. If you're looking for them on a map, it's kind of I think it's more of a swanky part of Liverpool. But they play in this, go look up their stadium. First of all, it was like amazing to watch. Their stadium is in the middle of houses, basically on all sides. And while fans were not allowed in the stadium, they had fans outside in their gardens able to see inside the fencing. And when the ball went out in, you know, out of play, out of the fence, they had number markers on the fencing to say, oh, it went to 23's house. We got to go retrieve the ball from Judy's garden over there on 20. Like, that is the kind of thing. I watched the entire thing, not because I love watching Spurs, but because, like, I was just fascinated by this. And it was, like, perfect. It looked awesome.
Yeah, Football Away Days have that on Twitter. Just do it in our group chat. I'm sure we'll throw it out. But yeah, look, now this is an example. If EA Sports were good at their job, they would add Rosset Park and like make it 10,000 coins immediately in Ultimate Team.
I would make a career mode and just play there, because I absolutely fell in love with it. I thought it was awesome. Really, really cool.
Yeah, I watched it too. It's funny. Then there's all the tweets of like, could you imagine like looking at your back or standing in your back garden hearing Jose Mourinho talk shit to the ref for 90 minutes?
Well, I mean, and they were like, I think they're seven or eight league places.
Yeah.
Below, or not league places, league
divisions
below, yeah, below Spurs. And like, that's the cool part of the FA Cup, is you get these types of situations. So like, I also watched Newport County and Brighton. That was a horrible match. Wouldn't recommend doing that. The penalties. Were absolutely hilarious. They were so bad.
Yeah, I think that it's your classic pro footballers on massive wages versus, you know, part-time footballers, that this is definitely their day out. So anyways, that's going to wrap us up. Let us know what you think. Obviously, Morecambe disposed of in the cup. So thanks to the scheduling, we have another match later coming up in the next round of that. So we'll toss that in somewhere. I'm sure we've got plenty of room for that. But anyways, that's going to wrap us up. Let us know what you thought about the pod. Obviously, let us go tweet Fran Kirby. Go tell her how awesome she is. She deserves it.
Absolutely.
She earns it. But that's going to wrap us up for this one. Matt Law, match preview, more to come this week. Be on the look for that. And again, a friendly reminder, Fulham are on Friday, not the weekend. So make plans accordingly. So until next time, Felt Chelsea fans, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.